from Groton, the town of Groton, and the Bensons and the Fredericks, and they said there's this Twig family that used to live here, and I didn't know they moved down to Rome, Pennsylvania, but there's still some Twigs up there. But they were impressed with their faith, and they said, hey, they have a grandson, Colton, who's going to the mission field. And so I got to meet Colton then and the family. And so so we are thankful for their faith and their willingness to serve God in Paraguay. And so I think they've been here before, but we're glad to have them back and glad to hear how things are going down there. There's been a ministry change coming up, and so he'll probably explain some of that maybe to you. I don't know. But anyway, Colton, it's good to have you here, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful that you're here.
Muy buenos días, hermanos. ¿Cómo estamos? ¿Bien? All right. See? So I said, good morning, brothers and sisters. How are you? Obviously still sleeping. All right. Okay, I got my work cut out for me here. So we are the Twig family. For those of you who were here before, you probably know who I am. My name is Colton. Most of you probably even know my brother Curtis, because he came to church here and was here when he worked at Miracle Mountain Ranch as well. This is my family. I'll have them stand up and turn around so you can see their smiling faces. My wife Tanya, our oldest Malachi, our next oldest, Noah, then Gideon, and then our daughter, Jehiah. In Paraguay, we call her La Última, which means she is the last. There are no more coming. So the last time we were here, they were probably really small, and now they're all taller than me, pretty much. And our old Malachi's 18. Noah's 16, almost 17. Gideon's 15, almost 16. And then our daughter Jehiah's 14. So I'm feeling pretty old. So we serve with Ethnos 360, and we serve in the country of Paraguay. You probably recognize Ethnos 360 as New Tribes Mission as well. We don't go by that name anymore, but in Paraguay we do. So we are Misión Nueva Tribus en el Paraguay. So how does our organization do ministry? Well, we do it in the heart language. What do you guys think the heart language is? The native language, the mother tongue. So that means we go into the tribe and we learn their language. We teach in their language. We translate in their language. Sing in their language. Our ministry is long-term. It is not a ministry that you can go in for 6 months to a year and do ministry. It's a long-term ministry. And we focus on discipleship. Is discipleship important? Yes. I should hear like every person be like, yes! It is important. We all need to grow in our faith. So what do we do? Well, we do Bible translation. We do literacy. What's literacy? Teaching them to read and write in their own language. So that means getting trained and learning how to read the phonetic alphabet, putting together an alphabet for them. How many think you could do that? There's some pretty intelligent people in here. I think some could do it. Oops. And we do foundational Bible teaching. What do you guys think foundational Bible teaching is? If you were in Sunday school, you'll know the answer. Creation to the cross. That's right. Pastor shouldn't be answering these questions, people. And if you weren't in Sunday school, you missed out on all the good stuff. Sorry. Just a little push for Sunday school for you. So we serve in the country of Paraguay. How many of you know where Paraguay is? Say it out loud. South America. South America. So we speak Spanish. But this country also has another national language called Guarani. If you didn't come to Sunday school, you don't get to hear the song. So, you know, sorry. We sang a song in Spanish in Guarani. So in Paraguay, we serve in a local church, but we also serve at the office there in the capital city of Asunción. This is just one of our church plants that we have outside of the city. Iglesia Bautista Getsemani, Anexo Luque, which is Getsemani Baptist Church in Luque, which basically what it means, which is a town outside of the capital city. And as you can see, it's pretty rustic out there. So it is in a location that is pretty rough. A lot of single mothers. And so we count it a privilege to be able to serve the children that we have there that are coming to our kids club, and the women who are coming in for the ladies' Bible studies. Currently, I'm part of the mobilization team, but I will soon be stepping down from being full-time on this position to being more of a helper. As part of mobilization, we want to connect the local church to tribal missions. And part of that job includes doing public speaking, producing materials in Spanish, PowerPoints in Spanish, all that fun stuff, and even traveling within and outside of the country to share with churches and training centers about the needs that we have in Paraguay for missionaries. Here's just some pictures of me doing just that. Ladies Ministries, this picture right here is called Joven Verdadera. To translate it, it just means true teen. My wife says it sounds cooler in Spanish, Joven Verdadera. But it is a teen girls Bible study where ladies in our church come together with the teen girls and disciple them and teach them about having a personal relationship with the Lord. And so my wife's heavily involved with that. Her and our pastor's wife run this ministry. Right here in this picture is out at our church plant. Tanya heads up this ladies' Bible study. There are ladies that come every now and then, but the one lady that is like the faithful person is this lady right here. Her name is Lucia, and if you could be praying for her, she does not know the Lord as her Savior. She grew up Catholic, but has also synchronized her folk beliefs, the myths and legends that they believe, into her Catholic faith as well. And so you can be praying for her. She does know a lot of, you know, like the great stories of the Bible, Moses and Noah and the Ark and creation, but it hasn't really connected. So if you could be praying that the Holy Spirit would be working in her life. These other ladies are ladies in our church, and the main reason they're there is because out there they speak a lot of Guarani. So if they don't know what Tanya's saying in Spanish, they look over to the other lady and they're like, what is she talking about? And then they'll translate it into Guarani, and then they're like, oh, now I understand. Lady on the other side, Tanya does on the days that she's not, they don't do the teen girls, they do discipleship with the ladies in our church. And so they have a time together where they can come together, study God's word, and pray together, and sing together. And so it's just a time of fellowship and unity in our church. So here's our church, Iglesia Bautista Getsemani. In our church, we're pretty much involved in anything that goes on. We are a small church, so we wear many hats. We're involved in the praise team, youth group, anything that goes on, we're pretty much involved with church leadership. But our children are even involved in ministering in the church. And so it's been a privilege to see our kids work in the church. We have some that sing on the praise team and one that helps with audiovisual and one who helps a lot with custodial work. And so it's a neat opportunity to see our kids grow in their faith and serve the Lord. Here's some pictures of our church. This is just some of from our men's group. So we decided to have like a bonfire that night, just a little bonfire. We had a little fire pit, and you know, me being the typical American with a little fire pit, I was like, oh, we can have hot dogs and sausages and cook them over the fire, and then we can do s'mores. So they tried the s'mores, and they were like, these are the most disgusting things we've ever eaten in our life. And I was like, chocolate and sugar? They're like, well, if you eat them by themselves, they're good, but not together. And the cracker's just gross. I'm like, okay. But then up in the corner, there's our church family. Our church is a little smaller. We're probably your guys' size, but that was an anniversary of our church, so there's a few more people that came. And then down here in the corner, this was our youth group pre-COVID. Since COVID, our youth group has gotten smaller. So we've been praying that the kids would come back. We do have some kids that they know the truth, but they're out living in the world and doing what they want. And just pray that the Lord would bring them back to the fold. And even some that did leave didn't know the truth. And so we just pray that the Lord would bring them back as well. All right, so we are planning on heading back to the field in the beginning of February, and some things are going to be changing for us. Well, our field administrator is retiring, and the field leadership has asked me to take over the role of field administrator. I get to be in charge. No, I'm not really in charge. But, you know, it's a job where you're doing multiple tasks at a time, so you know, you're coordinating all those tasks, and that takes time management, doesn't it? Managing mission employees, dealing with merchants in person and on the phone. How many of you speak another language? Oh man, we got to get some people studying some languages here. Spanish, preferably. Come to Paraguay. We need more missionaries. Run mission errands. That means going around town and, you know, buying things that the mission needs or doing the taxes. I won't tell the whole story about the taxes because it'll take forever. Working with multiple ethnic groups. We have more than just locals that come to our gate. We do have tribal people that come to our gate looking for missionaries. And so doing that is not always easy because sometimes their Spanish isn't very good. Running the mission guest house. We do have 7 guest apartments that missionaries can come and stay in when they want to come out of the tribe, or if they come to the city for medical or paperwork or anything like that. They have a place to stay that's comfortable. And then managing the office and the properties. And then we also, with that, managing the employees. We have a maid that comes and cleans our offices and our guest rooms, and then we have a gardener who takes care of our property as well. So it's a big job. I don't know if I'm going to be able to learn it all in just, you know, a small amount of time. But you know what? The Lord's good, and I'm looking forward to seeing what the Lord's going to do in this new ministry. I don't know if I put there was one more. I forgot to put the slide in here. But the field The field leadership has also asked my wife to take over the print shop. We do have a print shop where we do print materials for tribal people. And so when they finish translations or revisions, they'll send them to us and we print them. And then we poke holes in them and then put the little spiral things on them, which my wife hates doing because it's like really tedious. But she'll get used to it and she'll be faster than me. But so just a neat opportunity to get God's word into the hands of tribal people, right? Another ministry we're looking at, this isn't an official ministry, but this is just something that the Lord has just really been laying on our hearts. And we call it hospitality, but you could also call it missionary care or whatever, something like that. But we just feel that there is a need for unity on the field, but also taking care of each other, making sure that our missionaries are being prayed for, listening to them, listening to their concerns, praying with them, or just being there, being that listening ear for them. And so my wife did have the opportunity to go out to a village and meet with a family out there, and it was just a neat opportunity for her and our children. They got to see what studying a tribal language up front looks like. They got to go to a language session. And our one son said it was pretty cool because, you know, he said, you know, there's a lot of missionaries that come to our field from other organizations and they don't even get to experience this. They don't get to see what it takes for tribal missionaries to learn a language so that they can share God's word with these people. So we want to make sure that we are taking care of our fellow missionaries, just like you guys want to take care of your fellow brothers and sisters here in your church. Well, how can you be involved in our ministry? Well, first and foremost, you can pray for us. That is the most important thing that you can do for us. We do have a sign-up sheet on our table back there. You can receive our updates. We send out about 4 updates a year, and then sometimes we send out special things. We have prayer cards back there, so when you see our face, you can remember to pray for us. We have magnets, so when you go to get your ice cream at night, you can pray for us while you're scooping your ice cream. I only say ice cream because it's my favorite. And we have other things back there that that can remind you to pray for us as well. You can give. We are a faith-based organization, so that means we don't receive a stipend from the organization to do ministry. We rely completely on the Lord and His provision through His church and His people. So if you're interested in coming alongside of us financially, you can come and speak with us, and we will share with you how you can do that. How many of you like coffee or love coffee? Yeah? That's another way that you can support our ministry. We have cards back there. Coffee for Thriving Churches. You buy the coffee through there. You just have to go through and find our name and click on our name and buy it under our name, and then we receive a portion of the proceeds for our ministry. And lastly, you can go. How many of you have ever been on a short-term trip, like outside of the country? Oh, we gotta get you guys out of the country here. Maybe tropical. What you thinking? Tropical? Yeah. Warm weather? Come visit us. But there's a harvest right here, right in your own backyard, that needs to be harvested, right? There are people out there who need the Lord. You know, you have Rock, which is a good ministry, a good discipleship ministry. You have CEF. You have Vacation Bible School. You have all these things. Get involved. Don't leave it all to Him, because then He won't be around if you keep piling everything on Him. Help Him. That's what we're supposed to be doing, working together. He's the shepherd. But we can work too, right? If you're on social media, you can reach us on social media as well. We're on Instagram, we're under Twig Connections. And on Facebook, we're on under Colton Tanya space Twig. So you can find us on there as well. Alrighty. Well, Pastor did ask me to preach a little bit here, so I'm going to try my best. I'm not necessarily a preacher, but just something the Lord has laid on my heart a little bit was in Romans 10. So you can turn to your Bibles in Romans 10. How many of you know what is in Romans 10? What is the one verse you can think of about missions that is in Romans 10? Pastor cannot answer. Anyone? Anyone at all? There's one. What else? It has to do with a body part. Verse 15. All right, well, we're going to start in verse 1. We'll get to that. I think some people need to read Romans. Just kidding. So we'll start out in verses 1 through 5 and then read to verse 15. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, for being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law, amen, for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that God raised him from the dead, you will... Okay, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be what? Saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of who? All. Not just Lord of the Jews or Lord of the Gentiles, but all. Bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. So what's that body part? Feet! Stinky, smelly feet. So we see here, who do you think Paul is talking about in verses 1 through 5? Israel. He is talking about Israel. And a little context, you just go back into chapter 9, verses 30 through 33, and it'll give you that answer. And obviously, Paul's desire is that what? These Jews come to know Christ as their Savior. But what? What happens? The people of Israel choose to be what? Ignorant of the righteousness of God and did not submit to it. But rather decided that their way was best. I was listening in my devotions this morning to Ezekiel. It is amazing how many times, you know, the Lord has given them chances to come to righteousness, and they choose to simply not do it. And, you know, you think of us sometimes. How many times do we make the same dumb decision? But they rejected Christ because they pursued righteousness, the righteousness of God, by what? Works. But the Gentiles, so God is allowing Paul to share with the Gentiles about salvation. So the Gentiles in that time welcome Christ by what? Faith. So what about us? Do you choose to be ignorant of the righteousness of God like the people of Israel? We know what's right, don't we? There are sinners who know what's right, but they choose their own way all the time, right? Are you daily submitting to God's way, or do you think your way is better? Most of the time we think our way is better, right? We see in the world today that many believe that their way is better than God's way. And therefore we hear about, oh, there are more than one way. There's more than one way to heaven. There's more than one way to righteousness. But we know the truth. And what is that truth? Huh? I'm hard of hearing. There is one way. Exactly. And that is God's way. You know, we see that in John 14:6. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through him. It's not by, you know, doing all these good works. If you think that good works are going to get you to heaven, you might want to have a talk with your pastor. If you think that climbing mountains and doing weird meditations is going to get you to heaven, you might want to talk to your pastor. Or he might want to talk to you. Jesus is the only one, the only way one can be saved. You know, we see in this chapter several verses that talk about accepting Christ as Savior. Romans 10:9-10. How does one become saved? What's it say? If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is what? Can't hear you. Justified. And with the mouth, one confesses and is what? Saved. Verse 13, what's it say? For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. We didn't read this verse, but if you go into verse 17, it says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And if you want them to be saved, they got to hear God's word first, right? When a person hears the word of God, this signifies that there was a person who was preaching to them the word of God, who was sharing God's word with them. But that person had to be what? Sent. And who sends? Is it your church? I hear it back there. Somebody say it louder. God, the Holy Spirit. How many times have you been prodded by the Holy Spirit to go speak to someone about salvation? He's sending you to that person. So we go back to verse 15a. It says, "And how are they to preach unless they are sent?" And like you said, the answer is God. God is the one who sends the preacher, the missionary, or even yourself. God is the one who calls us, each of us, to preach his word. We've been commanded to preach his word. In what book have we been commanded to preach his word? Thinking of the Gospels. You didn't think you were having tests today, did you? Matthew 28, 19 and 20. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So he says, go. He goes, share the gospel, make disciples. Once they've accepted Christ, baptize them. And then what? Teach them. Disciple them. Teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. And what has he commanded us? What are we going to teach them to observe? God's word. Not your opinion. Not what Charles Stanley says in his book or Dr. David Jeremiah says in his book. God's word. Those preachers are really excellent preachers. But ultimately, this is what they should be learning first. So we have all been called to be what? Missionaries, exactly. Once you leave this church building, you are heading out into what? The mission field. Maybe you guys can paint it right across that wall right there. Now entering the mission field. Outside of this building, each of us has a mission field. Your family, your friends, school, your workplace. Sometimes even going to the grocery store can be a mission field. You never know. So we continue in verse 15 and we hear about what body part is he talking about? Feet. What do you guys think when you think of feet? Stinky, gross. Don't touch them. Don't touch me with them. Well, what does Paul say about these feet? If they're bringing the gospel, they're what? Beautiful. They're beautiful. They could be the nastiest, smelliest, have cracks all over them, dried out. And if they're bringing the gospel, they're still beautiful. Right? This passage about beautiful feet is found to relate to two different passages in the Old Testament as well. And it was because good news was brought. In Isaiah 52:7, and Nahum 1:15. In Nahum chapter 1, it talks about the destruction of the Assyrian Empire. This good news was what the messenger brought to the Jews. And it was said that his feet were beautiful because of the news that he brought, that the Assyrian Empire was being destroyed. In Isaiah, the statement was used to indicate the return of Christ and the establishment of his glorious kingdom. That's good news, isn't it? And it says that person had beautiful feet as well. You know, when we usually talk about feet, it isn't something you would think to be beautiful. If they are feet bearing the message of good news, we say the Lord says that they are beautiful. Obviously, most people think feet are gross. Unless you're a podiatrist, then you totally think feet are cool. And like I said, you know, it's because most people think feet are smelly and, you know, but there are different types of feet. Ladies, what is one thing you guys like to do to your feet? You decorate them with what? Toenail polish, right? Or you might go get a pedicure, get them all nice and smooth. So your feet might be pretty. If you work outside a lot in sandals, most people don't work in sandals unless you're in Paraguay, your feet are pretty beat up. Some people have hairy feet. Oh, I just heard, ugh. Well, God thinks the feet of those who share his good news, whether they're hairy, smelly, or pretty, are beautiful. You know, during our time in Paraguay, I've had the opportunity to visit some of the different communities where our missionaries work. In many of the works, there are believers, and they have the opportunity to, and have had the opportunity to see beautiful feet in action. Honestly, they're not super beautiful because they either are barefoot or wear flip-flops all the time. So their feet are, you know, dried out, or, you know, they've stepped on a thorn, because in Paraguay, in the Chaco, we have thorns that are like this big. But they have accepted Christ and been growing spiritually and eventually have become missionaries with beautiful feet. I think of the Ajore people. They decided that they wanted to share the good news of salvation with their brothers who live in a different part of the Chaco Desert. And so they decided to move and go over to this village and preach the gospel to their fellow Ajore people. You know, for us believers, it is our responsibility to go preach and make disciples. There are men, women, and children that are living in this world and have never heard of Jesus. Like the Jews in the time of Paul, they are sinners as well. God commands every man to repent. To not believe in Christ is to disobey God. To not obey Jesus' command from Matthew 28 is what? To disobey God as well. So then we must go and share his good news so that others can have the opportunity to hear and believe. Sadly, not everyone accepts Christ as their Savior. It is because of disobedience, hard hearts, that many do not believe the gospel and are lost for eternity. Gladly, others do accept him as Savior, and because of God's sovereign grace, they believe and are saved. Those who reject the gospel reject God's patient love and are held accountable for their disobedience or their hard hearts. So what kind of feet do you stand and walk with? Are they going to be beautiful feet or just okay feet? They should be beautiful. Even if they're ugly, they're beautiful. Are they going to be feet that take the gospel of Christ to the world, or are they going to be feet which you choose to keep to yourself? The choice is yours. The Lord has given us choices. Are you ready to be missionaries as soon as you walk out those doors? Whether or not you realize that you are entering the mission field. Maybe you are here today and you do not know Christ as your Savior. First, you need to be honest with yourself and acknowledge that you are a sinner. You know, in Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of" who? God. Second, there is a consequence for sin. And it is what? Death. Is it physical death? It's what? Spiritual death. Separation from God. In Romans 6:23a, it says, "For the wages of sin is death." This verse is talking about spiritual death. Thirdly, God loves you and wants to have a relationship with you. Romans 5:8 says, "But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ," what? "Died for us." That's love. That's real love. And fourth, to have a relationship with God, you must accept his free gift of salvation. He wants to save you from your sin. Jesus came, died on the cross, and rose on the third day so that you could be saved. He paid the price for our sin. Romans 6:23b says, "For the free gift of God is" what? "Eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." Lastly, all you need to do is accept this free gift. Romans 10:9 and 10, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a man believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved." If you're already a believer, what will you do? Will you allow God to use you to reach others for Christ? Or will you sit on the sidelines and watch as others obey Christ and take his message of salvation to those around them, their community, or even the world? The Lord has called us to be his messengers. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the gospel to those who are still lost. I told Pastor I was going to share a song with you guys. The song is called "Your Grace Still Amazes Me" by Phillips Craig and Dean. So it's an oldie, but a goodie. Oldie. Well, it's not that old, is it? 1990s. You said this one? All right.
My faithful Father enduring friend, your tender mercies like a river with no end, it overwhelms me. Covers my sin each time I come into your presence. I stand in wonder once again. Your grace still amazes me. Your love is still a mystery each day. I fall on my knees, 'cause your grace still amazes me. Your grace still amazes me. You make me whole. You are the author and the healer of my soul. What can I give you. Lord, what can I say? I know there's no way to repay you, only to offer you my praise. Your grace still amazes me. Your love still a mystery. Each day I fall on my knees, 'cause your grace still amazes me. Your grace still amazes me. It's deeper, it's wider, it's stronger, it's higher, it's deeper, it's wider, it's stronger, it's higher than anything my eyes can see. Your grace still amazes me. Your love still a mystery. Each day I fall on my knees, 'cause your grace still amazes me. Your grace still amazes me.
Many don't get to experience the grace that we have, but the Lord wants to give that grace to those who do not know him. Remember, you're entering that mission field. Remember the grace that you have. Be thankful for that grace and share that with others so that they can have the same grace that we have. Thank you again for having us. Please stop by our table. Come chat with us. Ask any questions. You can even ask my children questions. Hopefully they won't tell too many secrets. Just kidding. But thank you again for having us, and Pastor.